school, Shaila came up just this past week regarding the Kriya Parshas Shkolim. Many people didn't attend shul last week on Shabbos Parshas Shkolim. So the Shaila is, if people don't come to shul on Shabbos Parshas Shkolim, the next Shabbos they do come, are you supposed to learn Parshas Shkolim the next Shabbos? So we have a similar Shaila that's discussed partially in Shulchan Aruch, but also not completely. In the following case, Shulchan Aruch quotes the following story. The Urzarua relates that in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the Crusaders were traveling through Europe on their way to go to... And they came into Shul on Shabbos, on a Shabbos morning, in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris, and they wanted to kill all the Jews. Everybody started to run for their lives. Everybody ran home. They were hiding. And they were hiding for a few days until the middle of the week, until the Crusaders left. So the Shaila came up next Shabbos. What should they do with Kriya Sotir? They had missed the Parsha last Shabbos. What should they do the next Shabbos? Should they learn two Parshas or not? So the Yozarua quotes the Psak from the Balei HaTosfos at that time that you learn two Seders. That you learn the both Parshas. Let's say if it was Shabbos, let's say Parshas Bereishis, when they all had to run away from Shul. They were all in Shul together and they all had to run away. So then when it comes to Parshas Noach, he lay in Bereishis and Noach, as if there would be two Seders Mefuborim. You give three Aliyahs in Bereishis, then you give Revi to connect the end of Bereishis with the beginning of Noach, and then you give another three Aliyahs in Noach. So it comes out that you have three and a half Aliyahs in each Seder. That's the way we usually do. Whenever you have two Seders that are Mefuborim, so you give three and a half Aliyahs in the first and three and a half Aliyahs in the second. What happens, let's say, if it was Parshas Mishpatim that they missed? They had to leave in the middle of Parshas Mishpatim, they missed, and the next week is Truma Tetzaveh. So you have two Seders already. So then in Shulchan Aruch they quote all the details. They say, you never find, there's a Tichah de Tzibur to lay in three Seders. That's too much, two Seders you can lay. Three Seders to lay is too much. So they say, you only lay in Truma Tetzaveh and you forget about Mishpatim. Or what happens if it was B'chu Kaisai that they missed last Shabbos, and this week it's the beginning of Bamidbar? So the poskim say you cannot combine one chumash with another chumash. You can combine Truma Tetzaveh, you can combine Bereishis Noach, but you can't combine Vayichi and Shmos, and you can't combine Pikudei and Vayikra. You cannot combine from one chumash to the other chumash. So fa-fa, so you only learn today's Parashas HaShavuot, you don't learn last week's. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Din. The Shaila is the case that's described in the Shulchan Aruch as a specific case, the case that they put from the Rishonim. That the people were in shul on Shabbos morning, and they were in the middle of davening Shachris, in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, and then the murderers came in, and the Crusaders came in, and they had to run away, they had to hide for their lives. The Shaila is, what happens if there was a snowstorm, and nobody showed up in shul b'chlap? So would you say the next Shabbos that you also learned two Seders in it? So the Shari Ephraim, by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, that's a little sefer on Hilchos Kriya Sotir. He writes that he wrote the sefer for the Rabbonim because it's one of the most embarrassing things. When there's a shaila in the middle of Kriya Sotir, you have to paskin on the spot. It's not that that they call you up on the telephone and say, I look up the shaila and I call you up later. You have to know right away what the din is because it's in the middle of the lane. So he writes that he wrote a whole sefer, Shari Ephraim, for the Rabbonim, that they should know all the din for Kriya Sotir. In a half a second they should be able to look it up. So he writes this shaila. What happens if nobody showed up in shul at all on Shabbos? Would you lay two Seders the next Shabbos? So he writes an original chiddush. Nearly, he writes that he don't lay two Seders. The only time you lay two Seders is if the people were in shul on Shabbos and they became chuyiv in Kriyas HaTorah, because the chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah, he tutuf achiddush. The chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah is a chayvas hatzibur. He says it's not a chiyuv hayochid. It's not that every individual person is chuyiv to hear Kriyas HaTorah. If you stay home, you're not mechuyav in Kriyas HaTorah. There's a minyan that everybody should come to shul in order to constitute a minyan, in order that the minyan, the tzibur, should become mechuyav in Kriyas HaTorah. The chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah is mutar, the chiyuv, the obligation sets in not on any individual person, but rather on the tzibur. The congregation is mechuyav to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So if the tzibur had assembled on Shabbos, and they became, and they started to daven, and in the middle of davening something occurred, an oinus occurred, and they had to leave, they had to run away, whatever, shul burnt down, whatever happened to happen. So then the din is, they became obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, so the next Shabbos they have to make up last week's Seder and this week's Seder. So they learn together Truma Tetzaveh. They learn together two Seders, even though this Shabbos should only be one, they learn last week's and this week's. But if nobody showed up in shul at all last week, and this week they all show up in shul, so they're mechayiv to lain this week's sedra, they're not mechayiv to lain last week's sedra. That's how the Sharia finds. Other poskim disagree, and they say no, that even though what the Sharia Ephraim says is correct, that the Chiv Kriyas HaTorah is only a Chiv on the Tzibur, it's not a Chiv on the Yochid, but yet, what is the nature of the Chiv on the Tzibur? The obligation of the Tzibur is that they should see to it that all of the Parshias of the Chumash should be completed with the Shabbos Dikei Kriyas. It's not enough that they'll hear Kriyas HaTorah, let's say on Monday and Thursday you also lay in Shul. But then on Shabbos you have to repeat what you lay on Monday and Thursday. The Gemara has one Tana in Megillah, the end of Megillah. There's only the opinion that you learned on Monday, let's say on this week is Parshas Tetzaveh. So on Shabbos to Mincha you learn the beginning of Tetzaveh, till Sheni, give 3 hours. Then Monday morning you give till Shlishi. And then Thursday morning you give till Revi. And then on Shabbos morning you pick up from Revi and you give 7 aliyahs to the end of the Seder. We don't pass like that. We pass him that on Shabbos, it doesn't really matter so much Shabbos to Mincha, Monday morning, Thursday morning. The Ikum is that on Shabbos you have to learn everything, because the Takonas HaTanoim, the Takonas Anshek Nesad Doyla of Kriyas HaTorah is that the Tzibur should try to learn the entire Chumash on Shabbos. That it's not enough that they learn on the weekdays, it's not enough that they heard the whole Kriyas HaTorah, they should learn everything on Shabbos. That's why many other poskim can disagree with the Sharia Ephraim in his psak, and they say that even if nobody showed up to shul, it was a big snowstorm, whatever, nobody showed up to shul on Shabbos, so true, that Shabbos nobody became obligated in Kriyas HaTorah because there was no minyan and the people at home don't get a chiyuv hayochid, but the next Shabbos when they do come to shul, so there is a tzibur, and the tzibur is obligated to hear the kriyas kol achumish, kriyas kol atura on Shabbosim, so now they have to lay in last week's sedra and this week's sedra, so they are obligated to make it up. That's what they say in the name of the Chazon Ish. He writes in his biography, he was once sitting in prison for a couple of weeks in Eretz Yisrael when the government, when the British were running the country before 1948, so he was part of a Shabbos demonstration. He was making a Havkanah about Shabbos. So they arrested him too, with a whole bunch of other Jews. So he was sitting in prison a couple of Shabbos, and as much as he pleaded, they wouldn't allow the Sefer Torah to be brought into the prison with a million of people. So after he got out from prison, so he felt very bad that he missed Kriyas HaTorah, so he convinced, and it was quite a few weeks that he missed, it wasn't just 1 week. He convinced a group of people that they should be kind enough to sit and listen to 4 sedras. The 3 sedras that he missed and the 3 Shabbosim that he was in prison, plus the sedra and the Parshas HaShavua of that Shabbos. So he felt, he held l'halacha that the only reason why it says in Shulchan Aruch that, let's say if we miss Mishpatim and next week is Truma Tetzaveh, so the post can say you don't make you don't like 3 sedras because of Tircha de Tzibura. That means a normal Tzibura in the right mind wouldn't go for that. It's like, you know, 1 sedra. So if Nimishor said, then you have 2 sedras, you're going to have 3 sedras. No one would agree. But if you get the people to agree, some hechetes. So he convinced people that they should sit and listen to 4 sedras. So they did. Shailas, this is regarding a normal Kriyas HaTorah, a regular Kriyas HaTorah. That there really was no Takanas Chachamim that this Shabbos is Parshas Truma and this Shabbos is Parshas Tetzaveh. It's a Takana you should lay in every week another Parshas HaShavua, so that in the course of the year the Tzibur should have read the entire Chumash from the Sefer Torah on the Shabbos. The question is, what about Parshas Shkolim? What about Parshas Korah? What about Parshas Zohar? What happens if this year Parshas Shkolim, a lot of people couldn't get to shul? So what happens when they come to shul 2 days ago on Shabbos, would they learn Parshas Shkolim? So it's interesting, the poskim have a mefurish and achlekes in that. The Maharam Shik, Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, Maharam Shik writes in his tshuva that if you missed one of the Dalet Parshas, you can learn it the next Shabbos. This is fair. Parshas Shkolim has a shaychus with the whole month of Adar, because in the month of Adar they started to collect the Shkolim before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. By Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we expected that everybody should have given their shkolim, given a month to pay their shkolim, in order to purchase the new karbonis on Rosh Chodesh Nisan from the new money that they just collected. The beginning of the fiscal year, the Beis HaMikdash was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when they bought the new karbonis from the new money. So if you missed laning Parshas Shkolim the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, so the Mamshik says he laned it next Shabbos. Not next Shabbos, next Shabbos. Nishgifal, laned it any time in this season is okay. And the same is Parsha Zohar. If you miss Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, so if you learn Parsha Zohar after Purim, there's Gefelach. Parsha Zohar should be laying sometime on a Shabbos near Purim, either before Purim, after Purim. And Parsha Zohar is also Parsha Zohar, there's Gefelach. And the other poskim, there's a sefer on Shulchan Aruch called the Or HaChaim by the Sepinka Rav from Europe. So he has a likut of poskim on every siman and every sif in Shulchan Aruch. He quotes a collection of all of the latest poskim on more shilas that are covered by the Shulchan Aruch. So he quotes this machlokes. The Maharam Sheik is of the opinion that if you miss one of the Dala parshas, you make it up next week. You learn Parshas Kol and Parshas Zohar next week. And he quotes another sefer, Zohar Yavram, who disagrees. And says it depends which one of the Dalai Parashiyas he missed. Parsha Shkolim is supposed to lay in the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. So if you missed that, if there was a snowstorm on that Shabbos, you missed the boat. So you can't lay the next Shabbos. That's the wrong Zman. Parshas Zohar is supposed to lay in the Shabbos before, has a specific Zman. The Shabbos before Purim has a connection with Purim. We read about Amalek. So if the people didn't show up in Shul, whatever, enough people didn't show up, they don't learn Parsha Zohar like Shabbos whenever they want. They didn't learn on that specific Shabbos. Parsha Sachodesh also has a specific Shabbos. You learn Parsha Sachodesh, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So if you didn't learn that Shabbos, you don't learn at all. Parsha Parah, he says, there he agrees. Parsha Parah has no special shaykhus with anything. Because you have to have a Parah Duma in order to make all of those Tanei Mason Torah. And in order to be makrib the Korban Pesach, everybody has to be Torah. So you have to announce in advance that everybody should make themselves tohar for the Korban Pesach. So if you missed, but there's no special shaykhis, the Shabbos before Parshas Achodesh, we learn Parshas Parah. But that's a kfiyas on a specific Shabbos. But our shaykhis after the Shabbos before Parshas Achodesh. If also left the Shabbos after Parshas Achodesh, also you can get hazos. You can also get tohar with the paraduma. That Shabbos also. So there, the Zohar Avraham is masking. There he agrees. He says, Parshas Zohar, you can't learn on a different Shabbos. It has a specific Shabbos that Chachamim are misaken. And Parsha Shkolim also has a specific Shabbos. Parsha Sachar is also a specific Shabbos. Parsha Spari, he thinks, is not a specific Shabbos.
Isn't Parsha Zohar a specific mitzvah?
Right. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tesis opinion that Parsha Zohar is really a mitzvah in HaTorah to learn once a year, every year. In order to unrelated to the Dalet Parsha. Dalet Parsha is a Takana de Rabbanon, but Parsha Zohar of the Dalet Parsha is a real din d'oraisa. That's how Tosfos says, based on the pasuk Zohar. And then the Gemara says it says al lo yishkach. The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Yudalet says already lo yishkach. You shouldn't forget the story of Amalek. And then it says again Zohar. So what's added on by Zohar more than lo yishkach? So Zohar means that you have to save the pet. It's not enough to remember in your mind. Zohar implies that it has to be the pet. Then the Gemara says, maybe if you say Baal Peh, you just read from the Siddur. Zohar has a Shashlachar Molek, maybe you ate it with that. So the Gemara says, no, since it says in the end of the Shalach, Sov Zozikar Masefer, so you see that you have to learn Parsha Zohar Mekech HaKsav. That's how the Gemara derives the din of Parsha Zohar. So Tosfos claims that once a year, everybody has to have Parsha Zohar. So it would appear that here the Chachamim incorporated the mitzvah of Parsha Zohar together with the Dalet Parsha. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote an opinion of another Rishon, that Parshas Parah is also a mitzvah min HaTorah. The reading of Parah Adum is a mitzvah min HaTorah. So the Vilna Gaon says it's a misprint. There never was such a sheet, it doesn't make any sense. Why should Parshas Parah be a mitzvah min HaTorah? It's his time. Parshas Zohar says in Chumi, Zohar is a shoshlech ha-molek, and it says, Lo yishkach. The Gemara derives on Daf Yudalet and Megillah based on a psuk and Tzelzah Zikar Masefer. You have to learn the Mitech HaKsav. How can Parshas Parah be Minat Torah? So the Gaon says a misprint. The other commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say, how can it be a misprint? How can you assume that this line in the Shulchan Aruch is a misprint if it's found in so many unrelated sources? There's a Tesis Yishonim in one place and another Tesis in another place and a Rosh in a third place. Each one is not quoting the other one. These are different sources. How can it be that the different scribes made errors in all the different manuscripts and they put in a Parshas Parah as the Raisa? So the other commentaries think that it really is a legitimate opinion that Parshas Parah is also a mitzvah in HaTorah. What exactly is the mitzvah to learn Parshas Parah once a year, every year is Pilei Ploim? Why should it be so? So some of us should explain a very fascinating interpretation why it should be in HaTorah, why Parah should also be in HaTorah, based on the following. The Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs points out that the Chumash says we should always remember the Chet HaEgel. Zohar Eis HaShem Tzavto HaShem Lekecha B'Amidbar You should remember the way you angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you were traveling in the Midbar that you made the egg. And the Ramban is not sure whether this mitzvah remembering the Chet HaEgel is only a mitzvah on the Dor HaMidbar, on those people who lived in that Kufa. Or this perhaps is a mitzvah L'Doros, that throughout the generations all of the Bnei Yisrael should remember the mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah L'Doros, if it's a mitzvah L'Shor, that those people in the Midbar should remember the Chet HaEgel, so what's the nature of the mitzvah? So Mistama means that they should be makir tayva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that despite the fact that they worship the Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them, and he didn't punish them, he didn't wipe them out. So it's sort of a mitzvah of HaKadosh HaTayva, to remember the Chazdi Hashem. That's how the Ramban writes. If it's a mitzvah L'Doros, that throughout all generations we have a mitzvah to read the Parshas Chet HaEgel once a year, every year, we do that. We learn Parshas HaEgel, Parshas Kisisa, once a year, every year. If it's a mitzvah L'Doros, so is it a mitzvah that we should remember that despite the fact that we sinned with the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't wipe us out, that we didn't sin with the Chet HaEgel? Those were our forefathers, so how can we speak of HaKadosh HaTeva? So Mistama, the Pshat is a different one. We should learn Chet HaEgel to remember the lesson of Tshuva. That despite the fact that such a great kohol, so many people worshipped Avodah Zarah, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. There was even a mechila. After they did Tshuva, there was a mechila sa'avayin, even from the Chet of Avodah Zarah. So the idea in reading the Parshas Parah, according to this view, that Parshas, the idea of reading Parshas Chet HaEgel every year, once a year, every year, is not so much out of Hakor, to remember HaKadosh HaTeva, to be appreciative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that despite the fact that we all sinned with the Chet HaEgel, nevertheless he didn't wipe us out, we didn't sin with the Chet HaEgel, but it's rather a mitzvah to remember the lesson of Tshuva, how great Tshuva is, that Tshuva helps even for Avodah Zarah, even if everybody worshipped Avodah Zarah. So it's interesting, the Magen Avraham quotes a Yalkut Shemoni, which says, La'alach Magen Avraham Simin Samach, quotes the Yalkut Shemoni, says Mefurish like the Ramban. The Yalkut is a source, supposedly an earlier source, it's a collection of different Midrashim composed by one of the Rishonim, but it's supposed to be a collection of earlier Midrashim from Tanaim and Amarek. So he quotes, Yalkut Shemoni quotes a Medrash that appears to say explicitly like the Ramban, that there is a mitzvah once a year, every year, to read the Parshas Chet HaEgel. So the question is, but we don't do that. We don't read any Parshas Chet HaEgel. So the Magen Avraham says, we are Yotze by the Kriya, Kisisa. Every year we learn Parshas Kisisa. Magen Avraham asks, why don't we make a big deal out of it? Why don't we make an announcement? This is Parshas Chet HaEgel, and a special Haftarah, and a special Kriya. So he says, no, it's a Gnai for Bnei Yisrael that we worship the Egel, so it's not, we don't want to make a big sins. Oh, those who used to lay in that practice that they had in Eretz Yisrael, that they completed once every 3 years, so they would have to lay in Parshas Zohar every year, and Parshas Chet HaEgel once a year every year, right? And Parshas Chet Miriam also. Right? So some Afarshim explain as follows, that this is exactly why the Shulchan Aruch quotes a view from Rishonim that Parshas Parah is a mitzvah min HaTorah. What's the connection between Parah and Chet HaEgel? So Rashi quotes the Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, that the idea behind Parshas Parah is that there is a mechila even for the Chet HaEgel, even for the greatest Chet, such a great Tzibur, Din Avodah Zarah, they worship Avodah Zarah, such a terrible Avera, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives forgiveness even for that. If you do tshuva, all the sins will be wiped away. So some of Farshim explain, this is why the Shulchan Aruch writes that Parshas Parah is a mitzvah deraisa once a year, every year. The real mitzvah is to lay in Parshas Chet HaEgel. But what's the idea behind laying Chet HaEgel once every year? Is it a mitzvah that we should remember that we are sinners, we should walk around with a guilty feeling? No. Al tehi rasha b'fnei atzmecha. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, and the Tanya starts off, the first page of the Tanya says, it's one of the most terrible things, to have guilt feelings, to walk around feeling that you're a sinner. You should never walk, al tehi rasha b'fnei atzmecha, you won't be able to do Avodas Hashem. So the Torah does want us to read the Chet HaEgel once a year, every year, that we should always walk around with realizing that we are all sinners, with our faces down and sorrow and sadness. No, the idea is we should learn Chet HaEgel to remember that there's kapore, that it's possible to do tshuva and to obtain kapore even from the Chet HaEgel Zorah. So the way to really learn Parshas Chet HaEgel is by learning Parshas Parah, because Parshas Parah is the kapara, is the mechila for the Chet HaEgel. So that's why we lay in Parshas Parah once a year, every year, we are really learning Parshas Chet Egel. We're learning that it's possible to get a mechila and a kapara even for a chet of Avodah Zarah. That's what some of Farshim say. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes again the kitzur that Parshas Zohar is perhaps a mitzvah min haTorah, and one opinion is that even Parshas Parah is a mitzvah min haTorah. It's the form of learning Parshas Chet Egel. And then the Rashba in Megillah has a statement. He thinks that maybe all the Dalet Parshas constitute a mitzvah deras. And the Chidor in the Birkei Yosef on the Siman of the Dalet Parshas also suggests such an idea in the name of Achreinim, like the Rashba says, that maybe all the Dalet Parshas are mitzvah deras. How can one say with any stretch of the imagination that Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Achleidah should also be a mitzvah deraisa? How can that be? So Parshas Shkolim in the Mishnah Berurah explains why it should be a mitzvah min haTorah. He explains the standard pshat that whenever one is unable to be makruv korbanos, so the Navi tells us, when a shalma forms our saying, so we should at least speak about the laws of the korbanos. So here, the idea of makruv hashekel is also a part of the mitzvah of korbanos. So at least we should talk about, we should read the psukim of Parshas Shkolim, so we should be yotzei our inability to give shkolim today, and the shalma forms says, okay. How can you say that Parshas HaChodesh is a mitzvah deraisa? HaChodesh by no stretch of the imagination is a mitzvah deraisa. And the Rashba and the Birkei Yosef write, not as if each one of the Dal Parshas happens to be a mitzvah deraisa for a different reason. Parshas Zohar is a mitzvah deraisa because of Zechiras Amalek. And Parshas Parah is a mitzvah deraisa for a different angle because of Zechiras Chet HaEgel. And Parshas Shkolim because of Neshama forms of Seinu. Parshas HaChodesh, there's no apparent reason at all. They write as if the idea of having Dalet Parshas is a mitzvah deraisa. How can it be? And the way the Maharam Shik wrote in his tshuva, he says if you missed Leinik Parshas Shkolim the first Shabbos when it's supposed to be, so Lein the second Shabbos, as long as she's been mitzurif to Lein Dalet Parshas. What is the tzirif? What is there a combination here of Dalet Parshas? It just happens to be that the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar is Parshas Shkolim. The Shabbos before Purim is unrelated. It's Parshas Zohar. The Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Parshas HaChodesh. And then you learn also Parshas Purim. But is there any real relationship, any connection? Why we call it Dalet Parshas? Why is it Taka called Dalet Parshas? It's not Dalet Parshas. It just happens to be in the course of a month's time, we happen coincidentally to have four Takonas Chachamim unrelated to each other. Isn't that the pshat? Perhaps the Maram Shik says not so. He says it's one takana to lay in Dalet Parshas. What kind of a takana is that? So it would appear there is an interesting Gemara. Everybody knows the Gemara in the end of Tainus. The Gemara says, Mishinichnas Ador Marim Misimcha. Mishinichnas Ov Mimatim Misimcha. What is the practical nafkamina? So the Gemara says, to be happy, not to be happy. Then the Gemara has another statement. That if a person has a dintera with a nochri, has to go to court with a non-Jew, so he should go to court in Chodesh Adar because this is a bar yamazle, that's a month that the mazle of the Jewish nation is good. And he should not go to court with a nochri in the month of Av because it's reya mazle, the month that's bad for the Jews. The Gemara makes a statement. So what does mimi shenichnas Av? You shouldn't go to court from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Av till when? It says in Shulchan Aruch till after Tisha B'Av. A whole month? No, it says till after Tisha B'Av. That's all, just the 9 days. And what Mishinichnas Ador Marbi Misimcha, how long is that? Just till Purim. No, so they say the whole month. And then Rashi even seems to go further. Because Rashi says, on that Gemara, Chof Tesam and Aleph, in the end of Tainus, Rashi said, Mishinichnas Ador Marbi Misimcha, Rashi writes, Yimei Nisim Hoyu Li Yisrael. The month of Ador is a season of the year when Nisim to the Jewish nation, Purim or Pesach. So what does it mean, Purim or Pesach? That it's a good season for the Jews, starting from Rosh Chodesh Adar till Pesach Estes, till after Pesach. That's what it sounds like in Rashi. So some Achareinim want to know, why does Rashi say Pesach? What does he mean? It says, Mishinichnas Adar, Marbi Misim, the month of Adar. How does it get into Nisan? It's already happening around another half a month, till the end of Nisan. So Yankee Femden has a comment in Shelas Yabas, in Shelas Chulas. He says, no, what Rashi means to say is the following. That sometimes you have 2 months of Ador. Sometimes when you have a leap year in the Jewish calendar, you have Ador Rishon and Ador Sheni. So Rashi wants to explain to you, which Ador is it, Marbim Misimcha? If you happen to have a leap year, which is it? So he means to say the one that's close to Pesach. That's why he says Purim and Pesach. But the trouble is he doesn't say that. He says he made Nisim Purim and Pesach. So from the Rashi, the simple reading of right? Right? We would have said Purim would have been good. Right? You know, Purim is in the second Adar. So from the Rashi episode, he sounds to be saying that this is from the Gemara also, from the simple Gemara. The Gemara says that this is a season of Nisim. So Rashi's bothered. What do you mean? Adar is bigger Nisim than Nitzias Mitzrayim. Nitzias Mitzrayim is also Nisim. So he says, no, it's all part of the same season. It's all part of the same season. Nisim is the Chodesh of Nisim. Chodesh is Elohim Rosh Kadosh. Nisim was Nikra as the Chodesh of Nisim. And Adar, at that time, it was Igloi Muslim Afreya, that it was always the Chodesh of Nisim. We never knew about it. The Nisim Nistorim. In Nisim, there were Nisim Gluim. And in Adar, there were Nisim Nistorim. We didn't know Bishas Yitzis Mitzrayim. But the month before Nisim was also a Zman of Nisim. But later, in the days of Mordechai Yester, they had a nice Nistor. So they realized that this whole season was Nikva as a month of Nisim. So the Rashba seems to think that there is a mitzvah in HaTorah when a person has a nest. So there is a mitzvah in HaTorah to bring a korban toidah, when a person has something to be appreciative about, to be thankful for, so he has to bring a korban toidah. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't bring a korban toidah, so we have a Sudas HaGoya, a substitute for the korban toidah, and we say Birchas HaGoyma, the Tanoim HaMisak, and we should recite Birchas HaGoyma. In addition to that, the Gemara says over here, because this season of the year was Nikva as a Zman, Ador in Nisim was Nikva as a Zman of Nisim, Yimei Nisim Horil Yisrael Purim and Pesah, so the Rashbo and the Chidon and the Birkei Yosef think apparently that the Chachamim were Misakin not only do we have Birchas HaGoyim sometimes and Korban Toidah and Sudas HaGoyim and other things, we have Dalet Parshas. There's an extra added mitzvah to have Talmud Torah. In addition to the Kriyas HaTorah that we have every week, the Chachamim felt that a way to demonstrate, appreciate, and to demonstrate one's appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a Nisim that he shows us is by learning more Torah than a person normally does. So that's why the Chachamim were Misakin at this season of the year, these Dalet Parshas. It's not because it happens to be Parshas Shkolim, happens to be the week before Rosh Chodesh Adar when you're going to bring Shkolim anyway. And Parshas Zoch you have to lay once a year anyway, so you may as well lay it before Purim. And you have to become Tohar for the Paradum with the Paradum in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. And you want to read the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you want to read HaChodesh Zalachem, that everybody should know what Chodesh Nisan is all about. It's not just that it happens to be all this. No, it goes in the reverse order. The Chachamim wanted to be Misakein. We should have additional Limud HaTorah during this season of the year. That's why in Europe, in the yeshivas, in America also, they carried over the tradition from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Adar, they start a Hasmada drive, a Hasmada campaign. What's up with a Hasmada campaign? Why not all year long? No. There's some kind of a feeling that whenever there's a Chodesh of Nisim, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim and for the Gulas and the Yeshuas that He gives us by learning extra Torah. So the way to demonstrate that we're learning extra Torah is the Chachamim have, we should have how do you have more Hasmada? People are supposed to learn all day and all night anyway. So what do you do extra? So you have extra Kriyas HaTorah. In addition to the normal Kriyas HaTorah, the Parshas HaShavua, the Chacham HaMasakim Dalet Parshas. So we took this, the mitzvah, Parshas Torah, which is really perhaps once a year, every year, to remember that there is a tikkun for the Chet HaEgel. They took it and they said, let's make the Takana now, before Pesach, that everybody should know to become Torah. And they took the mitzvah Parshas Zohar, which is once a year, every year. It could have been Yotze Parshas Zohar. When you read that Parshas HaShavua, they said, no, let's put it now. And they took the mitzvah of Shkolim, because you have to announce any man Shkolim. That's the reason why they picked on these Dalet Parshas, but they wanted to have extra Kriyas in this season of the year to demonstrate that there's a Hasmada drive, there's extra Liman HaTorah, to give a Hakoras HaTorah to the Rebbeinu Shalom for the fact that these are Yimei Nisim for Yisrael. That's apparently the opinion of the Rashba. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the opinion, but the Rashba and the Birkei Yosef and this Siman of the Dalet Parshas quote this view. They hold that the Dalet Parshas are related to each other. You know, offhand, normally we don't think of them as being related. They hold they are related. And that's why the Maram Shik is of the opinion that if you missed one Parsha and one Shabbos, you can lay the next Shabbos. It's still the right season of the year. Lichatchila, the time to lay in the Parsha Shkolim is the Shabbos before. Rosh Chodesh Adar, so you have an extra Kriya. And also you have the announcement that everybody should bring the Machzah Shekel in advance of Rosh Chodesh Adar. But if you didn't lay in the Parshas Kolam, then you can lay in it later also. This man, starting from Adar till into Nisan, let's say if you would have missed Parshas HaChodesh, and Parshas Parah. Let's say if it's a snowstorm, Parshas HaChodesh and Parshas Parah. So then you can learn the two parts of the Maamshik, you can learn the both parshas in the next 2 weeks, up until Pesach. Starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan up until Pesach, perhaps up until the end of Nissan. We don't know. He doesn't explain fully when. Apparently this season of the year, there's a special Takanas HaChomim to have extra Kriyas HaTorah to demonstrate that there's a Hasmara campaign. There's extra learning going on. Achidesh from Rishayim. It's a new idea, new understanding of what the Dalet Parshas is all about. Why shouldn't they have every week? I don't know. Why didn't they make a takana every week another queen? I don't know. A good question.
We don't say Avraham.
You made simcha, right? That's what. You don't say Avraham, you made simcha. Normally, on the day before Purim, we fast Taanis Esther. This year, because Purim is on a Sunday, so you cannot fast Taanis Esther on Shabbat. So there's a machlokas in Gaonim, when are you supposed to fast Taanis Esther? So most of the accepted opinion is that you fast Taanis Esther on Thursday, because the Gemara says in Taanis that it's not proper to have a Taanis on Friday. It's not proper that a person should come into Shabbat starving, or be in a state of mamish hunger. It's a bizarre of Shabbat. It's a bizarre of Shabbos to eat a full fleshig meal on Shabbos, right, on Shabbos morning, on Shabbos afternoon, unless you have a bris, a pidyon haben or something, but otherwise it's not proper to have a full meal. But on the other hand, it's also a bizarre of Shabbos to come in, we call it the Shabbos kishum meuneh, to come into Shabbos in a state of being chalishing away from starvation, so that's why it's not proper to pick away a tainus on Friday. Right. If it falls out on Friday, so you have to. Right. But if you have a brayer that you can make it on a different day. Right. We'll discuss that sort of tainus in a minute. So here, right here, since the tainus is really tainus has to really should have been a day before Purim, on Shabbos. But since we're not fasting on Shabbos, we're moving it anyway. Instead of moving it to Friday, so we choose to move it to Thursday. Another going about the opinion, no, that you should fast on Friday. In fact, the Beis Yosef quotes in Hilchos Purim, he quotes at Shulchan Rashi that there were some Prushim, there were some Chassidim Anshei Maaseh in the days of Rashi who would fast both days. They would fast whenever Purim falls out on Sunday, they would fast Thursday and Friday to be Yotze both versions. So Rashi comments about that in Haksil Bachay Shecholet. The Gemara says in the first parak of Erevin regarding the many Machlekes B'Sham V'Silo that the one who's Machmer like both is Haksil Bachay Shecholet. This is Stama Shait, Stama. And the one who's maker like both, the one who takes on the Kulus of Bisham, the Kulus of Bisil, the Gemara calls him a Rosh. The one who takes on the Chumus of both is called Anara Shait. So that's what Rashi said about this. That there's no need to fast Taanis Esther both on Thursday and on Friday. The whole Taanis Esther is only meaning anyway, and everybody's fasting on Thursday, so Masach Nishnarish, just fast on Thursday. It's interesting though, normally on a Thursday morning we would lay in Parshas HaShavuah, we would lay in Parshas Tetzaveh, but because it's a Tainus, that's why we're laying Vayichal. But if it's not supposed to be the Tainus, if the Tainus is supposed to be on Friday, then you're laying the wrong Kriya. So Rav Soloveitchik told us that he heard that his grandfather Abchaim would not want to get an Aliyah when Tainus Esther fell out on a Thursday, because according to the other opinions, you're laying the wrong Kriya, so what's he getting an Aliyah? It's in Gans the wrong Kriya Sotah. But most Kahan will be in Israel, I'm not worried about that. They give you an Aliyah, so you take the end.
But isn't it just that you're supposed to have a
Kriya
on Thursday? Not that you have to have this specific
Kriya. Yeah, the Kriya is supposed to lay in this Kriya. The Lachat Kriya, for sure. It's supposed to lay in the Parshas HaShavuah. Unless it's a Tainus, then you're supposed to lay in Vaichal. But if it's not supposed to be the Tainus, you're not supposed to lay in Vaichal. This year, because Taanis Esther is not on the right day, so we certainly have a Kula. There is a Din in Shulchan Aruch that let's say you have a Bris on a Taanis, let's say a Bris on Tisha B'Av or on a Sarah B'Tev, Shavuot B'Tamuz, whatever. So whenever you have a Bris, or if you have a Chosn, or a Chosn Kal in the middle of Shavuot Mea Mishteh, so if you have a Taanis that happens to be a Nitcheh anyway, let's say Shavuot B'Tamuz or Tisha B'Av fall out on Shabbos. You don't fast on Shabbos, you fast on Sunday. So if on Sunday there's a Bris, then the Baal HaBris only fast the half a day, the Gemara says, and then they eat in the afternoon. They have a Fleishik Seed in the afternoon. The Baal HaBris are the father of the baby, the mother of the baby, the son of the mother. These four people are considered the Baal HaBris. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a Machlokes HaPoskim, does this Kula only apply that the Baal HaBris, or Chosn Kala, should eat After Chatzos, and the Tanis, is that only applied when it's a time of Shenitche? If Tishvav and Shabbos are betamis for on Shabbos, and instead you're fasting on Sunday, so then they're allowed to eat. What if it's mamish Tishvav? Tishvav on a regular day, in the middle of the week, regular Asar B'Tev, Shabbos are betamis, and you have a bris, and you have a chasin tala. Do they eat after Chatzos or not? So we pass from Allah that night. That unless it's a Nitche, if it's a Tanis, it's a Nitche, then it's more kal. Then Allah says that they can eat after Chatzos. But if it's not a Nitche, if the Tanis is on the right day, then we pass from Allah and Shulchan Aruch that they're not permitted to eat. When it comes to Tanis Esther, so many Pasuk say Allah that since Tanis Esther is more kal than the other Tanisim, the other Tanisim started off as being the Kabbalah, Shabbos of the Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Psukim in the Novit, some Raviv, some Achamisha. So that started off as being a Chiyuv, Medivri Kabbalah, Medivri Hanavim. So even though perhaps Ben Zman has that we live in a peaceful country, that there's no open persecutions against the Jews. Now the Gemara says that it's really dependent on Ratzim Misan, Ratzim Misan, it's only optional. And the fact that we fast all the Tanaism is only a Minhag, but still it's a much stronger Minhag than the Minhag to fast Tainus Esther, which never started off as a Chiyuv, Medivri Kabbalah. So that's why many parts can say Halacha that on Tainus Esther, Loi Meboyan this year, when it's not on the right day, it's also like it's a Mugdam, it's not a Nitche, it's a Mugdam. So Loi Meboyan this year, certainly if you have a Bris, or if you have Chosin Kal just got married in the middle of Shiva's Me'amishta, that they eat, but even if you would have a Tainus Esther this Mano, they would also eat.
And yet, because of this Minhag,
they pay for the Tfir. Yeah. Kosof, it is a Tana. You make a new Tanis, so you also lay in Baichal. Let's say the Tzibur is Mekabel their own Tanis. In the Gemara we find that the laying of Baichal and the Tainis, Medina the Gemara is only by Mincha. The fact that we learn it by Shachar is only a later Takanas Hagonim. Is Mana Talmud, they never learn by Chal in the morning, only to me. Because the Iker of the Tainus, the Gemara says, is Le'eis, Le'eis Erev. That's how you find it.
If it's a Yom HaKriya, you have to have a certain amount of Sandman to have a Kriya.
Yeah.
Some say 6, some say 10. Mm-hmm. If it's Yom HaKriya,
so you're learning anyway.
You're learning anyway. So then
you don't
have
six. Yeah.
But if you, so it's definitely a special day when it's not a little key, you have to have six.
Yeah. Different opinions in Pasuk. Different opinions. I wanted to explain a little bit about this. What do they mean that Tainus Esther is Kal? Tainus Esther is a Tainus Kal, and therefore, even if it's Bismanoi, even if Tainus Esther is on the right day, it's not like this year happens to be with fasting on a Mugdam. Even if it falls out on Erev Purim, still, if you have a Milah, you have a bris, so you have a chasin kala, so they don't fast. Is that only because it's kal? So I think it's more than that. If you look in the Gemara and the Erevin, the source of the whole din, I think it's much deeper than that. Again, the Shulchan Aruch says, we pass in Halacha that only if Tisha B'Av is a nitcha, only if Shavuos B'Tammuz is a nitcha, then the Bali bris are allowed to eat. But if it's Bismana, if Tisha B'Av is Bismana, then you're not allowed to eat. You don't have the food. So the Magen Avraham, on that simon, in Hilchos Tainis, quotes a kasha from the Tshuvas Maharam Lublin. Isn't this against the Gemara? The Gemara is mashma b'feirish, that even when Tisha B'Av is bizmana, you're also allowed to eat. So the Gemara goes as far. The Gemara is an Erev, and he quotes. The Gemara is an Erev and Daf Mem. I have to say over the whole Gemara, in order to appreciate it, you should understand what the kasha is and what the teretz is. The Gemara has an Erev in the following shaila. What happens when you raise before? What happens when a Tainis falls out on Friday? A serve of tables. Falls out on a Friday. So the Gemara raises the question. On the one hand, he's supposed to fast, but Hatonis. On the other hand, we have a consideration. Kadesh Lei Konis L'Shabbos, Kashuhu Me'une. It's a bizoyin on Shabbos that he comes in, he's chalashing, he's starving. You have to eat a little bit on Friday in order that you shouldn't be starving on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? When Tisha B'Av, or whenever, Bizman Gemara, Tisha B'Av could also fall out on Friday. Are you Misano or Mashlim? Does the halacha say you have to fast till the end of the day? Rafah, so he will be Nichnas L'Shabbos in a state of starvation. Or do you say no? Because of that consideration, we allow their people to eat a little bit towards the afternoon, late in the day, before Shabbos, they should have a little bite and break the fast on Tisha B'Av, let's say, Tisha B'Av or whatever. So the tevis, by the way, should be allowed to eat. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. The Gemara says Rabbi Kiva and other Tanaim were of the opinion that when a Tanis falls out on Friday, it's a mitzvah to eat Kadesh Lukanas and Shabbos Kshumim. So they would eat on Tisha B'Av Mamish. By us, Tisha B'Av can never fall out on Friday, but the Bizman on the Gemara could still happen. So they would eat on Tisha B'Av late in the afternoon because of Kodesh. And the more Paschim's La Aloha Napsa, the Hilchasa, Misano Mashna. The dinner is that you fast the whole day till the end of the day. Of course, the Chatchili should avoid being Misakan a Tainas on Friday because of this consideration. That's why, let's say, a Shaila, the person has Yortat on Friday. Should he fast the whole day or not? So the Paschim have different different clothing when the fast the
whole day. Yeah, I'm sure you appreciate Shabbos. You fast the whole day.
That's it, not eat too much. That's it. You're not allowed to have a big meal on Friday, a large suda is also, and to fast in Gansan is also also, because they're both bizoyan for Shabbos. You should eat a little bit, shouldn't eat too much. That's exactly it. But to fast legamre, to come to enter Shabbos in the state of being hungry, the Gemara considers that also bizoyan for Shabbos. So this is a shaila that the Gemara has. If a tainus falls out on Friday, are you mashlim the tainus or not? And the Gemara quotes a machlekes hatanaim, and the Gemara says, lahalacha, we pass in lahalacha, misano mashlim, you have to fast till the end of the day. So the Gemara, in the middle of the sugya, raises the following raya, brings out the following raya. There was a Tana, Rav Lezer Rav Tzorek, who was a descendant of the Bnei Sanor ben Binyamin. In the days of Ezra Nehemiah, when he took the Bayi Sheni, so the psukim list off in Sefer Nehemiah, different people, different individuals who volunteered to donate Eitzim LaMizbeach, logs, they had to give, it was an awful lot of money, big donations, and they would give every year when it would come, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Rosh Chodesh Tevis, whenever, different seasons of the year, they would donate all the logs for that period, for that unit of a month, or a month and a half, or 3 weeks, whatever. They were vying with each other who's going to donate to give the logs to the Beis HaMikdash. Most of the people didn't have any money, so they couldn't afford it. And these people were gvirim, so they were paying. So every time you bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, it's considered a personal yentif for that person who's offering the carbon. So those people who used to donate not only carbonus of animals, even if you donate carbonus of logs to the Beis HaMikdash, that's also a carbon eitzim. The Gemara in Tainus considered the Martinus, and the Gemara in the end of Menachos calls that also a carbon. Carbon eitzim is a carbon. So those families who were descendants of the original people who would donate the carbon eitzim would celebrate those days as Yarim Tavim. Those days that their forefathers 400 or 500 years earlier had donated logs to the Mizbeach, and the Gemara appears even after the Churban HaBayis, it would appear that they were still celebrating these days. That's already questionable. It sounds like the Gemara, they were still celebrating these days even after the Churban HaBayis as Yarim Tavim, minor holidays, the days that their forefathers had donated the korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that once upon a time Tisha B'Av fell out on a Shabbos, so it was a nitch, everybody was fasting on Sunday. And this Tanner of Lezer Rav Tzorek says he was a descendant of Bnei Sanor of Ben Binyamin, that person for Sheva Binyamin, that his forefathers brought the Korban Eitzim on Asura B'Av, that's what it says when they first established the Beis HaMikdash. Asura B'Av was a holiday, a tradition of a holiday in his family, Midei Rederitz. So everybody else in the world was fasting on Yud B'Av, and he was eating. He says, Yontav Shalano Hoya, it was considered our Yontav, the Hisaninu, we started to fast, Veloi Hishlam Nuhu, we didn't complete the fast. We only fasted till after Chatzos, and then we broke our tonnes, and we had the family party, we had the Simcha, because it was a Yontav. So the Gemara there has a kasha. Why does he only record that once upon a time he remembers that Tisha B'Av fell out on the Shabbos, and then everybody was fasting on Sunday, and I was his yontif, but just a minute, every normal year, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Tisha B'Av and everybody's fasting, it's the chair of yontif to him. If in his family, Asiri B'Av is a yontif, it's a yontif of carbon eitzim, so Tisha B'Av is the chaner of yontif to him. So every year, he should have always fasted Tisha B'Av only till late in the afternoon, and then he should have eaten. Just like you tell me that if a tannis falls out on a Friday, on an erev yontif, the Gemara raised the question, and sometimes I'm of the opinion that you're not allowed to fast the whole day. Kadesh lo yikonis l'shabbos k'shehu meuna, or Kadesh lo yikonis l'yantiv k'shehu meuna. That's a bizoyin for the yantiv and a bizoyin for the Shabbos. So every Tisha B'Av is the chaner of yantiv for these descendants of Bnei Son of Ben Minyan. And every Tisha B'Av, they should have only fasted till late in the afternoon. Then they should have eaten. that you don't find recorded at all. So doesn't that prove conclusively when a tainus falls out on an Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yom Tov, you fast till the end of the day? So the Gemara says, what's a sushtal? This is a Yom Tov. Yeah, this is a private Yom Tov. This is a Yom Tov for everybody. There's no sushtal over here. The Gemara says, it's obvious there's no sushtal. Because when Tisha B'Av was in Nitzche and everybody was fasting on Asir B'Av, he also fasted, the Gemara says. He also fasted. He says, V'hisaninu, V'loi hishnalam nuhu. They fasted till after Chatzos. When you have a bris or you have a chasen kala, they don't eat breakfast. They only have to wait till after Chatzos. Why? Because when you fast till after Chatzos, there is a kiyum, there is a partial kiyum tonus. You don't have the full kiyum tonus, but you have a partial kiyum tonus. So the Gemara says, from the fact that you have tiny shores, and the fact that you fast part of the day on this Yom Tov of Korban Eitzim, that shows that it's not that on the same level as a real Yom Tov deraisa. It's not on the same level as a real Shabbos or a real Yom Tov. So just like you can fast the tiny shores, you have to fast the left of Chatzos on his Yom Tov of Korban Eitzim, so too you don't say Kadesh Lo Yikonos Lo Yom Tov Kishuhu Meuna. You're not worried about that. So on every Tisha B'Av, he would fast till the end of the day, and we would never recommend to him that he should eat Tisha B'Av late in the afternoon, Kadesh Lo Yikonos to his private personal Yom Tov Kishuhu Meuna. There's a different kind of a Yom Tov. It's a lower level of a Yom Tov. That's the Gemara. So the Maharam Lublin comments on that Gemara. What is the kasha? What is the Gemara effect of kasha over here? There is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch we mentioned before, when the bris falls out on Tisha B'Av. Did you allow the Avi Ben, the mother, the father, the mother, and son, are they allowed to eat after Chatzos or not? Machlokes mi paskin, no, only when Tisha B'Av is in Itche. When Tisha B'Av is bizmanai, so you don't have any heter. So what did the Gemara say over here? Because Yud B'Av is a yantiv, so he's allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av Leis Erev. But we just said there are no kulas on Tisha B'Av Yizman, only if Tisha B'Av is a Nitche. Here it's not a Nitche. So what was the whole kasha of the Gemara? So the Maram Lublin says, you're right, that was only a Havamin in the Gemara. Once the Gemara comes to the conclusion, once the Gemara gives the answer, it shows that it's all wrong. It was all a mistake. There's never a Heter on Tisha B'Av. So it's like a Pele, but that wasn't the issue that the Gemara was debating. The Gemara said a different Dechiyah. The Gemara said a different reason why it's wrong. The Gemara is that because there's a difference between a private yontif and a public yontif. A real Shabbos or a real yontif. Maybe there is a consideration. Kadesh lo yikonos lo Shabbos kishuhu meuneh. So you tell him to eat at the end of the day of the tonos on Erev Shabbos. It's only because yontif shalonu haya. If it's a private yontif of korban eitzim, then you're not matan. So what did the Maram Lublin say? That's only a haramin al maskon. That's wrong. So the Mefarshim all say the pshat is as follows. The din is when you have a bris, so it's a yontif shalanu, the balei bris, the four balei bris, the father, the mother, the aviyah, the sandik, and the moyel, it's considered a yontif for them. It's not a yontif for ganz klal Yisrael, but for those four people it's a yontif. When you have a chosn kala, it's considered a yontif for the whole shivas yimei mishnah, for them. The din is that when you have a yontif, you're not allowed to fix. One shaila is, what do you mean they have a bris that's labeled as a yontif? How can you label a day as a yontif? But it's a tonus. Can a tainus be labeled as a yontif? Can you superimpose a shem yom tov on a day of tainus? So that's the way we usually assume. That's the parsha of Shat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, on a real Tisha B'Av, when it's really Tisha B'Av, or really Asar B'Tevus, or really Shavas B'Tamus, or really Tzom Gedalia, that's a yom evel. These are Tanaisim that are based on Avelis of Churban Beis Hamikdash. So Yom Evel cannot be labeled as a Yom. That's a type of assessment. Either the day is a happy day, or the day is a sad day. So if it's a Yom Tainis, it's a Yom Evel, we cannot superimpose a Shem Yom Tifan. So that's why we pass in our Locha that on a real Tisha B'Av, or a real Asar B'Tevis, you can have all the brisin you want, you're not allowed to eat. Only if it's a Nitche. Nitche means that it's not really, today's not the Yom Evel, yesterday Shabbos was the Yom Evel, but the din says you can't fast on Shabbos. The din is you fast today, your yotze the tonis today. But today is not labeled as a yom evil, since the day is really a blank day, and you happen to be a chasen kala, you happen to be a balabris, so it's yontif shalonu. So since the day is labeled as a yontif, which it can be, because before that it was a blank day, it wasn't really labeled as a yom evil, then we say yontif shalonu hoya. But the din says that you're allowed to eat after chatzos, because yontif shalonu, you're not allowed to fast. That's the way we pass in our law. But the Gemara was not sure what the pshat is, whether that's the pshat of Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik, because Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik tells over the story that his family had a tradition that they always had a yontif on the Korban Eitzim and the 10th of Av. And once Tisha B'Av was on the Shabbos, and it was a litz, everybody was fasting on Asiriyav, so he said the expression, Yontav Shalanu Hayot, was our Yontav, V'hisaninu, V'loi Hishlam Nuhu. So we didn't fast throughout the whole day, we only fasted till after Chatzos, and then we ate. So the Gemara is Mesupik, what's the Yisoid Ahet to Rav Elazar ben Ratzonik? Is it based on this Hezbe that we just said? It's based on the idea that it's labeled as Yontav Shalanu, in which case, it only works when it's not a nitche. When it's not a nitche, how can you label the day a yom evil as a yom tov? Or should you say no? This was the Gemara suffering. Or you say no? Since it should, since you're a bal bris, or since you're a chosn kale, so you have a mitzvah to eat. So whenever you have a mitzvah to eat, it's doicha the yisur of tainus. That was the Gemara suffering. So the Gemara had the shaila when a regular day, let's say a regular asar b'tavis falls out on Friday. Asar b'tavis falls out on Friday. There's no Yontif Shalom HaHoyah. Erev Shabbos is not a Yontif. But we have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Shabbos because Kadesh Le'ikonis Le'Shabbos Kishahu Me'unah. So the Gemara says, what would be the din in that case? When Asur B'Tavis falls out on Friday, do you say whenever you have a mitzvah sachile, you're allowed to eat, so you're allowed to break the tonus towards the evening before Shabbos? So we say, no. There is no halacha whenever you have a mitzvah sachile, you break the tonus. The halacha is, whenever it's a yontif shalanu, whenever you can label the day as a yontif, then you're not allowed to fast. No, you can't label asur b'tavis as a yontif, it's a yom evil. So that was the Gemara Sufik. What do you do when you have a tonis on Erev Shabbos? Are you misano umashlim or not? So the Gemara quoted a machlekes hatana. So Rabbi Akiva and several other tanoim were of the opinion that whenever you have a fast day on Erev Shabbos or Erev yontif, you break the fast towards the evening. Because Kadesh, it's a mitzvah sachila, Kadesh lo yikonos l'Shabbos kishumun, you have to eat. And other Tanoim, who we pass, can like say no, that's not the Yisoid HaHetar. You're not allowed to eat whenever you have a mitzvah sachila. The word is, whenever the day is labeled as a yontif, then, if it's a yontif, so you're not allowed to fast. But you can only label the day as a yontif if it's not a yom evil. And if it's the tonis itself, so it is a yom evil. If it's a tainish nitche, then it's not a yom evil. So actually, the Maharam Lublin is right. The Maharam Lublin says that was only the Gemara's Havamina, but Lamaskona, the Gemara backed out. Maharam is saying the following. The Gemara had a suffering. The Gemara raised the question, what's the nature of the heter of a blezer Reb Tzodik? When you have a bris on a Tisha B'Av Shenitche, why are you allowed to eat? What's the pshat? Is it whenever you have a mitzvah sachila, you're allowed to eat on a tonics? Or is it whenever it's labeled as Yantav Shalom and the day is a blank day, it's not a Yom Evil? So then once it's labeled as a yontif, so you have to eat, you're not allowed to fast. The Gemara thought that there are two nafkaminas ledina in this. One is any tainus that happens to fall out on a Friday. There's a mitzvah sachila on every Friday to eat a little bit in order kadesh le'yikonos l'Shabbos b'shul me'unah, but you can't label every Friday as a yontif. It's not a yontif. That's one nafkamina. And the other nafkamina was, would you allow, let's say, the balei habris to eat on Tisha B'Av gufer? Let's say the bris is on Tisha B'Av or Pasukal, they allow to eat on Tisha B'Av when it's not a mitzvah. See, if the pshat is whenever you have a mitzvah sachila, it's mutar even on Tisha B'Av gufa. If, however, the pshat is that whenever the day is a blank day, then we label it as a yontif shalom, then there's an isa tainus, that's only if it's a blank day. But if it's a yoy mevel mamish, if it's a tainus itself, is mano, then it wouldn't be any heter. So the Maram Lublin says that once the Gemara comes to the conclusion that when you have a tainus on Friday, you misana umashlim, the hilchus or the psak is misana umashlim, you fast till the end of the day. Why? Even though you have a mitzvah sachilo on Erev Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos, that's not enough to be matar tainus. The only heter, the yisoid heter to be matar eating on a tainus is if you can label a day as a yom tov, then you're allowed to eat. Once the Gemara comes to that conclusion, then hu adinami, if it's Tisha B'Av that's not a nitche, then the heter doesn't apply. Then the Balei Habris is not allowed to eat because you can't label it as a yontif. It's already labeled as a yom evil. How can you superimpose a shame yontif on a shame evil? So that's how we paskin halacha. We paskin only on a nitche, not on the tainus itself. Why? Because the tainus itself is a yom evil. Yom evil, a day of avelus, a day of mourning, cannot be labeled as a yontif. It's a tarta disaster. But if it's a nitche, then it's not a yom evil. Then you can't label it as a yontif. With this pshat in mind, we understand simply why Tainus Esther is different. Tainus Esther is never a yom eva. No tragedy ever happened on Tainus Esther. Frankir, the poskim point out la halacha that Tainus Esther is a tainus shal simcha. It's not a Tainus Shel Aveilus. Because we have a din in Megillas Tainus, all of the holidays that were instituted by the Tanoim during the period of the Second Temple, because of different great occurrences, different happy occurrences that happened in connection with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says all of those holidays, not only is one forbidden to fast, there's an Easter Tainus on the holiday, there's an Easter Tainus the day before the holiday, as well as the day after the holiday. Not only on the Yom Tov, even the day before the day after. So the Gemara says that all of those happy holidays that they celebrated in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all the Yom Tov went down the drain. With the Beis HaMikdash, with the Churban HaBayis, everything is forgotten now, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. These are the only two that we say, although Batla Megillas Tainus, but Legabi Chanukah Purim is Loi Batla. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yutes. So in connection with that Gemara, there's a big Machlokes and Tesis and Menachos and other Rishonim. When the Gemara says that Chanukah and Purim is Loi Batla Megillas Tainus, from all the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus, only two remain Bizman Hazeh. Chanukah and Purim, does that mean only on Chanukah and Purim Gufa, one is not permitted to fast? Or even Lefnehim El Yachreim, also not. What about Erev Chanukah or the day after Chanukah? What about Erev Purim or the day after Purim? Is one allowed to fast then or not? So it's a machloek, it's different opinions. So some Rishonim ask, what do you mean different opinions? Everybody fast on Tainus Esther? How can it be different opinions? We all fast on Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther in a normal year falls out on Erev Purim. So you see, Mefurish, that we're all fasting the day before Purim. How can we do that if there are opinions and tastes that even the day before and the day after Purim we're not allowed to fast Bizman HaZeh, but we do it all the time? So the Rishonim explain, and he says, Eshkol, the Ravid Balo Eshkol quotes in the end of early Rishonim, that the Tainus of Tainus Esther is a different kind of a Tainus. The idea of not fasting the day before the day after a holiday Megillas Tainus is not the Prava any Avelis, not only on the Yontif, even the Erev Yontif and the Matzoh Yontif. That means not to fast a fast of Avelis. Not to fast for Mechilas Averis, not to fast because of a tragedy that happened, whatever. But the fast of Tainus Esther, the Rishonim said, that's a Tainus Shel Simcha. They fasted, the Megillah describes the way they fasted in the days of Mordechai Esther, and their prayers were accepted and they were answered. And the Baruch Hashem gave them a Yeshua. So the fact that we fast today, it's not a Tainus like Shavuos of the Tammuz and San Gedalia and Asar B'Tev. It's not a Tainus of Averis. It's a Tainus Shel Simcha. It's like Yom Kippur, exactly. It's a Tainus like Yom Kippur. It's not a Tainus of Avelus at all. So that's what the Eshkol says. That's why it's not in violation of the rule of Lefnei Malachrei and being forbidden to fast, even if one should assume like that. The Shulchan Aruch happens to pass from that the day before, the day after Purim and Chanukah, you are allowed to fast. And others debate the Psak. Why did the Shulchan Aruch make it if there are other Rishonim who hold Lechumra? You shouldn't fast. But even if you hold you're not allowed to fast, still there's no problem with Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha. It's not a Tainus of Avelus. So once you say like that, the Tainus Esther is not at all a Tainus of Avelus, it's rather a Tainus Shel Simcha. So the Cheshbon comes out, whether Tainus Esther is Bizmano or Shalei Bizmano, whether Purim falls out on a Sunday, or Purim falls out in the middle of the week, it doesn't matter. Tainus Esther can always be labeled as a Yontif. If you have a bris, or you have a Chasam Kala, or just got married within Shivus Yemei Mishteh before, Tainus Esther can always be labeled as a Yom Tov. You can't tell me no, but if it's Bizman, it's already called the Yom Evil, and how can you label it? How can you superimpose the Shem Yom Tov on top of the Yom Evil? No, it never was the Yom Evil. Asar B'Tevah, Shavasa B'Tamas, San Gedalia, Tisha B'Av, those are Yom Evil. So if they are Bizman, if it's not a Nitche, if Tisha B'Av is Bizman, then if the days are Yom Evil, you cannot superimpose the Shem Yom Tov on it. And we say, far from, then there's no head to teeth, because we paskin that the head to teeth on a Tainus. It's not that whenever you have a mitzvah sachili you're allowed to eat. No. Then on Erev Shabbos you should also be allowed to eat. When Asar B'Tevah falls on a Friday you should be allowed to eat. We paskin, you're not allowed to. So the answer is we paskin the other pshat. Morris says it's a machlokes hatanoim, what the pshat is in the heter achilas. We paskin the heter achilas is based on this. Because we superimpose the shame yontif on the day, and a yontif you're not allowed to fast, so the mele you have to eat. That's one. So if that's the pshat, so this distinction between a Tisha B'Av that's nitche and not nitche is only the gabi the tiniest of Avelis. But Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha. So even if the Tainus Esther is Bizmanoy and Yud Gimel Ador, you still label it as a Yontif. And as a Yontif, we say there's an Isa Tainus. And a Yontif, there's an Isa Tainus. That's probably the pshat why we pass in Malacha that's how Rav Avadya Yosef quotes a whole Tshuva Sachron, like that others disagree. But Rav Avadya Yosef has in one of his svarim a long tshuva on this, And he quotes several achronim based on a Ritvon Megillah also, who say la'alacha like that. That on Tainus Esther, even if it's bizmana, it's not a mugdom, the chasukala can eat in Shivis Mi'an Mishta, and if you have a bris meal, even if it's bizmana, also the Bali habris are permitted to eat. No.
Shukhanah.
Oh, the kitzer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kitzer, I don't know.
Even if it's not a mugdom. Okay. At that time there was a tzara. At that time it was a tzara, but then they fasted and their prayers were answered. So we fast today, and we say just like the Rebbeinu Shlomo answered their prayers then when they fasted, so too Yehiratz and he should answer our prayers now that we're fasting. So it's not really in commemoration of any tragedy that occurred. It's a commemoration of the Tanis that worked. The Tanis did work. The Tefillahs were answered.
And the answer was no. On a regular Tisha B'Av or a regular Tanis Zibra, then that wouldn't be a heter. But mashma if you're yontif
was on Tisha B'Av, right? That's what the Maram says. For not Gemara would appear that if you have a real bris on Tisha B'Av, is mamash mutter, right? For not Gemara. So then he asks, but how come we don't pass like that? It's like an often a raya from the Gemara. So he says, no. Once the Gemara backs out from the Erev Shabbos and the Erev Yontif, then they back out from the whole thing. How do you see that they back up in the whole thing? So in yeshivas they say this biur, that the two nafkaminas hinge on the one question. The issue is, why is it that when the bris falls on a tisha b'av shenitcha, why are you allowed to eat? Is it because the mitzvah sachila is matir to eat? Or is it because we label the day as a yontif? So the Gemara had two nafkaminas in this. One is, would that be a heter even on tisha b'av gufa? If the bris is on tisha b'av gufa, you can't say it's labeled as a yontif, it's a yom eva. But if we say there's a mitzvah sachila, you don't have to fast, then there is a mitzvah achila. When you have a bris, there's a mitzvah achila. And the other nafkamina was, what about if the tonis is on a Friday? There's a mitzvah sachila on every Friday, kadesh le'yukonis l'shabbos k'shuhu ma'unim, and you can't label every Friday as a yom. So once the Gemara backed that, so you'll be yetzer your mitzvah of Yantav Shalom. Yeah, that's by us. It's impossible because we don't get married, right?
But you see Yom Kippur.
I didn't say when he did get married. And not Tisha B'Av, let's say Sarvatevis. God gets married the day before Sarvatevis. So we would pass in Allah if Sarvatevis is a nitche, then they eat Pasan Kali. It's not a nitche, they don't eat, but on Tainus Esther, even if it's not a nitche, the Chasen Kala do eat if they're still in the middle of Shivas and Amish.
Yom Kippur is a mitzvah every Yom Kippur. If it comes out on a Shabbos, let's say somebody's not fasting Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And Yom Kippur, he has to eat a real Suda, every Yom Kippur. That's a mitzvah. Would he eat a whole Yom Kippur? Because he has to even eat on Yom Shabbos. The Shabbos, maybe he should go in Shabbos is going to eat a regular meal. He's not. He's young. Maybe but he has a mitzvah of eating a full meal on the Erev Yom Kippur. He has to go in Shabbos to eat. Shabbos is still Shabbos for him. It's not a Yom Tonis.
If
Shabbos is Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur was on Shabbos.
So Erev Shabbos is
mitzvah to eat.
But if somebody wouldn't fast Yom Kippur,
What if he's not going to fast anyway? Is there a mitzvah teeth on every kid who's not going to fast?
I mean, not a mitzvah, but he shouldn't eat too much because he wouldn't be enjoying the Shabbos. He wouldn't have the full...
He's not eating because of Shabbos, he's eating because of
Yom Kippur. No, that's a big machlokes in Poskim. The mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, is that in order to prepare yourself for the Tanis? Or is that a separate mitzvah that Yom Kippur was the Yom Kabbalah Sater? The Shluch HaShniyos were brought down on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says that on Shavuos, the Gemara has a machlokes of Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua regarding the nature of Simchas Pesach and Sukkos and Rosh Hashanah. Do you say you need Chetzel Lachem and Chetzel Hashem? Or do you say, no, if you want, you can have Kulor Hashem. You can daven a whole day, and burn a whole day, and just eat a regular sandwich like you eat on a normal day. Now we have to spend a lot of time to have an elaborate meal on Yom. So that's a machlokes Satana. So the Gemara says, although there is a machlokes, and Rav Lezer's opinion is that if you choose to, you can celebrate Yom Tov by spending most of the time Lashem, davening, and listening to Shurim, and learning some, just to be yotze the suis with a little bit. But Hakam, Oedem, Batzeres, and Shavuos, everybody agrees that you have to have a lavish meal because Shavuos is Yom Kabbalah Sater. And the halacha requires you have to have a big party on the Yom Kabbalah Sater, that there should be a lot of gashmiks. And then Gemara says also, everybody's Moedam Purim. Although normally there should be a machlokes of Lezer Rabbi Yeshua how to celebrate the Yom Tov, so it should apply to Purim as well, no? Hakol Moedim on Purim also you have to have a lavish meal, because the pasuk says in Megillah Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. So the Gaonim have the Girsa on that Gemara. Why is Hakol Moedim on Purim? Because Purim is also Yom Shenitna B'Torah. Because the Gemara says in Shabbos Kima V'Kibla there was a new Kabbalah Sateirah. So some Rishonim say the same is true regarding Yom Kippur. That Yom Kippur was the Yom Kabbalah Sateirah. The Luchos Shniyos were brought down on Yom Kippur. Those were Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't smash. But on Yom Kippur you really had or to have a big Suda, but you can't have a Suda on Yom Kippur, there's an Issa Tonitz. So the Torah said, celebrate Kabbalah Zatorah of Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur. Eat on Erev Yom Kippur. That's why by many Hasidim there's a minute to have Dafka honey cake. Because the Torah is compared to Dvash V'Cholav Taz L'Shan, to have honey cake and milk. Because the Torah is compared to Dvash V'Cholav, and the whole party, the whole mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is because of the Kabbalah Zatorah, and the Torah is compared to Dvash V'Cholav. So that's a big machloikis in Poskim. Whether the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur only applies to one who's going to fast on Yom Kippur, the mitzvah is to prepare for the tanis. So no, even if the person won't be able to fast, it's a separate mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. That's the Sudas Kabbalah Zater.
We know that the original
high assessment
was on times before the first Crusader nights, and the first 2 days of Pesach. So how was it that the time was open with the Sassan and the rest of the Yom Kippur?
Yeah, I don't know. The Gemara says that it was an ace tzara. They were at their wits' ends. They didn't know of any other ace, so they had to be misan. They felt that's the only way to get out of it. So. The Gemara says like that in Pesachim Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, that Shavuos is different because Yom Shenitna by Torah, and then the Gemara says Purim is different because it says Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. So the Gaonim have a different gears than that Gemara. The Mordechai and Megillah quotes the Rav Yoh, who quotes the Gaonim, and the Shiltas also has that gears. Purim, everybody agrees that you have to have a Suda because it's also Yom Shenitna by Torah. So what is it referring to? So the Ramah, in the parentheses in the Mordechai Megillah, they have a lot of Hagoyes by the Ramah. And the Netziv and his Bir on the Shilvas both give the same interpretation. What the Gaonim are driving at is that Gemara and Shabbos Daf Pefes. The Gemara says, Kima the Kiblu, that there was a new Kabbalah Satorah at the time of Purim. What do they need a new Kabbalah Satorah for? So the Gemara gives a little pshat. The Gemara says, because at the time of Maimon HaSinai, Kofalim, HaKigigis, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted, they forced it down their throats. And then Bnei Yisrael can have tainus later on. Why should you punish us? We didn't accept the Torah out of our own free will. So later in the days of Mordechai V'Esther, they're mekabel bi'ahav. They're mekabel out of their own free will. That's how the Gemara says in Shabbos. It's a little unclear what that means exactly. It could be what the Gemara means is something else, perhaps something in addition. The Novi Yirmiyah said that the first bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai, they were made for the bris. The Jews worshipped Avodah Zarah at the time of the first temple. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And the whole bris, the whole treaty, the whole deal was all off. So the Rebbeinu Shalom said to the Navi Yirmiyah, I'll make a new Krisis Bris, Charat Yitchem Bris Chadosha. That's what the Goyim referred to, the Bris HaChadosha. The New Testament is a translation of Bris HaChadosha. The Rebbeinu Shalom said to the Navi Yirmiyah, he's going to make a new Bris HaChadosha, a new Krisis Bris, a new treaty. And this time the Bris will be engraved on our hearts. It will be Kabbalah Belev B'nei Yisrael, not Stam and Asaf V'Lachutz, not Stam lip service. And this Bris will never be broken. And then, after we'll make the new priest's Bris, then he'll bring us into Eretz Yisrael for the second time. So it could be that that's what the Gemara understood with the story of Nes Purim. According to the tradition of the Gemara, the Nes Purim occurred during the 7 years of Golus Bavel. The Goyim say it wasn't so. According to the Goyim history books, it wasn't so. But the Gemara says, every time the Gemara talks about when it occurred, the Gemara states clearly that Nes Purim occurred during the 7 years of Golus Bavel. And the Gemara says that at that time there was such a Kabbalah Satur, there was a Hisoris Luchuv among Bnei Yisrael, the Roma Kabbalah Torah, and this the Gemara viewed as the new Kabbalah Satur that enabled them to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time and build the Beis HaMikdash. Because another Yirmiyah said there's going to be a new Krisis Bris. Where do you see a new Krisis Bris? So you find in the Psukim and Sefer Nehemiah that they made a Bris Amona. They had one representative of each one of the 12 Shvatim who had been Oyle at Eretz Yisrael, who had gone on Aliyah. And they all signed a big, like a declaration of independence, a whole document they signed that they promised to observe Shabbos and all of the laws of Shemitah. That's why they were sent into Golos, because they didn't observe the laws of Shemitah. And they promised to observe the laws of Trumas and Maaseres, they said, and they promised to set free the Avodim. They specified specific mitzvahs there. And then they wrote, and I'll promise to observe all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, all the laws of the Torah. And each one of the Nesim signed it as representing his Shevet. So it would appear that the Chachamim understood that the beginning of that Krisis Bris was in the days of Mordechai Esther, when there was a new king of the Kiblu, an additional Kabbalah Sater, and this Krisis Bris was culminated with the signing of that Bris Amona, as it's called in the Sefer Nehemiah, the declaration of signing of the Bris, that they promised Piksab to observe all of the laws of the Torah. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Mishnah HaTorah HaZois, that the lettering, the alphabet used in the Sefer Torah was changed, the Machlokes HaTanaim. So half of the Tanaim say the alphabet was changed when they came back from Golus Bavel. Originally all the Sefer Torah were written in Ksav Ivri, and at that time they changed it, and it was written in Ksav Ashuris. What do they have to change into Ksav Ashuris for? So the Gemara gives an explanation, a very strange explanation. The Gemara doesn't fully explain. The Gemara says, really Ezra HaSefer, Ruya Hoysa Torah Shetinasan Adai Ezra. Really the Torah should have been given by Ezra. But Moshe Rabbeinu Chaptemot, Moshe Rabbeinu came a few generations before, a few hundred years before, but Shengi gave him the Torah, so there was nothing left to Ezra to give. So as a second prize, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave Ezra a new ksav. And the Gemara proves from Psukim like that the Torah should have been written by, the Torah should have been given by Ezra, because he's called the Sefer in different Lashonis that I found by Moshe Rabbeinu, I found by Ezra as well. What kind of a Lashon is that? Ruya Hoysa Torah. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is not going to change the altar. So this is what it means. The first bris that was made with Moshe Rabbeinu was broken because Bnei Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah. They were sent into Golus and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So then the Rebbeinu Shalom said to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he's going to have to make another Krisis Bris. Charat Yitchem Bris Chadosho. And if you don't make that new Krisis Bris, you won't have the right to enter Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Rebbeinu Shalom had to make the Matan Torah Har Sinai prior to entering Eretz Yisrael. Without Kabbalah Satera, you have no right to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to give a new Krisis Bris. So that's what the Gemara says in Loshon. Ruya Hoysa Ezra Shetinas and Tera Al Yodai, because his was the Bris. It's going to be the new Bris Al Lipchem. It's going to be the lasting Bris. There won't be a need for a new Krisis Bris in the future. That's what the Gemara understands. The Bris of Ezra is the final Bris. Now the Rebbeinu Shlomo couldn't change the laws of the Torah that were given ready to Moshe Rabbeinu. So to demonstrate that this is the new Krisis Bris, he changed the text. He changed the Tzuras Oseus. In fact, there is a fascinating Yerushalmi. The Gemara comments on the pasuk in Megillah Esther that says the Megillah was written in the days of Mordechai Esther, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. Very strange lesson, words of peace and truth. That's why Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. So the Gemara darshins pshat shalom ishmoi shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And emes is chesom shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, Dibre shalom v'yemes means that Megillas Esther is just like the Chamish HaChamish HaTorah. Kamita shal Torah, just like Chamish HaChamish HaTorah. It's Dibre shalom v'yemes, it's Dibre lekim chayim mamish. These are the words of the Rebbeinu Shalom dictated, word for word, letter for letter. So too, The Megillah says there's Divrei Shon Leviyanis. Man after minute. What do you mean? Just like Chumash, just like Chamishah Chamishter. So the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi, famous Rambam, the end of Hilchas Megillah. The Rambam says that Lasi Lavoi, even though Kol HaSvarim L'Teilu, all of the other Sifrei Hanavim V'Haksuvim will be bottled. Everything will be bottled except for Chamishah Chamishter. And Megillah Esther will not be bottled. Why should it be so different? Why should Megillah Esther be single that? And that's based, the Yerushalmi bases it on this pasuk. Kamita Shel Torah, just like Chamishah Chamishah Torah are never bottled, so too Megillah Esther is never bottled. So the Gemara has a din based on this. The Gemara doesn't have the whole thing. The Babli says, just like Sefer Torah needs sir to it, you have to scratch out lines. The Sefer has to make lines first before he writes, and he has to write on the sirtut, on the line. So too, Megillah Esther needs sirtut. It's a special din. All of the other svarim don't need as much sirtut. They just need sirgul in the four corners. They need a border. And Sefer Torah, Megillah Esther needs sirtut al kol shita v'shita. And every line needs sirtut. But the Gemara doesn't elaborate on the point, but the Yerushalmi has more. The Yerushalmi says the Megillah Esther is nitan lehidoresh, just like the Chamishah Chamishah Torah. Just like the Chamishah Chamishah Torah is nitan lehidarish, he can darshan on it, so to Megillah Esther is nitan lehidarish. What does the Yerushalmi mean? Only Chamishah Chamishah Torah, Megillah Esther is nitan lehidarish? Don't we find that the Chachamim darshan things on all of the Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim? So the Kedush HaSlevi explains, the Blagitza Baditshva explains in his Sefer Kedush HaSlevi, that it's not the same. The Gemara says regarding the Chamishah Chamishah Torah, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Achas Dibra Elokim, Shtayim Zu Shamayti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. And this is mamish, the words of God. These are actually the words of God. So any person who listens to the Dvar Hashem or who reads the Chumash may have a new insight in the Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash in such a way that it can have many levels of interpretation. You have Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod, and the Gemara says, Shivim Parim LaTorah. There are many different interpretations to any one given pasuk. So this is only true when it's the Ribbono Shel'Olam who's dictating. That's the Chumash, Zachas Dibra Elokim, he said one sentence, and Shtayim Zu Shamayti, that one sentence, that one pasuk can have many levels, not only Shtayim Zu Shamayti, the Gemara has Shivim Parim LaTorah, can have 70 pshatim on one pasuk. This is not true, however, the Kedush HaSlevi says, regarding all the Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim. The other Sifrei Nevi'im were written Beruach HaKodesh, what happened? The Navi saw Mara HaChalom. He saw horses and chariots, he saw gardens, he saw Makal Shoket anywhere. Each Navi saw a different Chazon, a different Mara HaNevi'im. And then, with the divine inspiration that was sure on him, he wrote it down. But it's his own signon. The Gemara says, Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnabim Misignon Echad. No two Nevi'im, even if they get the same Nevi'im, they wouldn't write it in the same fashion, because each Navi writes when he's endowed with the spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, so he writes, but in his own signal, the words of the Nevi'im Uksuv were not dictated directly by HaKodesh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter. That's what the Kedush HaSlevi says. That's how all the Chassidish Svarim assume, based on Isaiah. That only Chamishah Chamishah Torah were dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. That's why by Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu it says, Zeh HaDavar Shatziv HaShem. Zeh HaDavar means this is exactly the Dvar HaShem. By the other Nevi'im, it never says Zeh HaDavar, it says Kol Amar Hashem. Kol Amar Hashem means this is approximately what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. You can never say Zeh HaDavar. It's not the precise, exact quotation of the Dvar Hashem. So the Kedush HaSlevi says, if another Navi sees a Mara HaNevuah, and then he interprets it in his fashion, he writes it down. So you'll look in the Navi and you'll give a different shot. What are you giving a different shot? But you didn't see the original Mara HaNevuah. Let's say, I don't have the original Chumash. I just have an English translation. So I'm going to reconstruct what it said in the original Chumash, and I'll give a different shot. I'll say, the one who translated the Chumash into English made a mistake. I'll give a different shot than the Chumash. But if you don't have the original, how do you know that you can give a different shot? You have to have the original in order to suggest a different interpretation. So the Kedush HaSlevi says, the Chumash, we all have the original. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, this is the Divrei Elokim Chayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps had one Hasag, he had one level of interpretation. And throughout all the generations, the Chachamim in every door can give another level of interpretation. They can get, and all the levels of interpretation are meant by the Pasuk. Achaz Dibra Elokim, Shtayim Zu Shamayta. When it comes to the other Sifrei HaNevuah, the Sifrei HaNevuah were not dictated word for word. The Navi saw Amara Chazon, Amara HaNevuah, and he interprets it and he gives pshat. And he writes in his words, in Belashim and Yodam, he writes what he saw and what his interpretation of Nevuah is. going to come another fellow who's going to give another level of interpretation. Another level of interpretation of what? He didn't see the original. How can he give another pshat? So you can never give another pshat. Either Gemara Darshan is Pesukim in Levim Metzuyim. It's only Asnachta. That's, you can't say that that's another pshat. But the Gemara claims that the Sefer Megillas Esther is Divrei Shalom V'Emes, is like Amita Shel Teretz, Nitan Lehidorish. The Gemara says, this is Amayla. Megillas Esther is Nitan Lehidorish. It means that this was not only Stam, it was written by Ruach HaKodesh, that was Shoraner. The Gemara says that this was dictated as if word for word, letter for letter, to Mordechai V'Esther, that this is exactly the Divrei Elokim Chayim, and you can have different levels of interpretation here, because everybody's seeing the original, and the original can have many levels. The Ribbono Shel Olam dictated, whenever the Ribbono Shel Olam dictates Torah, he dictates it in such a way that it should have many levels of interpretation. So that's a pesul. This is the way the Chachamim understood not only the Suras Purim, that the mitzvah to have a Suras Purim is not the same as every Simchas Yom Tov. The mitzvah to have Suras Purim is like a Siyum Masechta. The mitzvah of Suras Purim is like the Suda on Shavuos, and according to some poskim, that's the Suda on Erev Yom Kippur. This is the Suda for Kabbalah Satera. There was a different Kabbalah Satera on Purim. That was the beginning of the bris that took a long time. The bris Amona began in the days of Mordechai V'Esther with the king of the Kibla, and it was concluded later when they made the official signing of the document of the bris Amona described in the Sefer Nehemiah, when the heads of all of the Shvatim signed that they promised to observe all of the mitzvahs. And then Ezra changed the ksav of the Sefer Torah to demonstrate that this is a new kris bris. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to give new mitzvahs. It's the same old mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're not going to change. But he gave everything in a different ksav, and he gave a new book. He gave a new sefer, Megillas Esther, to be added to the Kisvei HaKodesh, which was more significant than all of the other Nevi'im Ksuvim. Unusual. All the other Nevi'im Ksuvim, the Gemara says, had to be written in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Shkina Shara b'chutz l'aretz. Megillas Esther said this unusual. It was written in chutz l'aretz, and it was on a higher level. It was on a higher level of Kedusha than the other Nevi'im Ksuvim. That whereas the other Nevi'im Ksuvim will all be batel, asid, lover, the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi, Megillas Esther will not. Why? Because it's Kamita Shel Torah, as the Yerushalmi says, it's Nitan Lehidorish. This is the original Divrei Elokim Chayim. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam need that for? What do you have to give another Megillas Esther? What's so significant about it? He wanted to show that there's a new Kabbalah Sator. He's not going to write new dinim. There are no new dinim. There are no new dinim deraisa. There were dinim derabbanan added on that are written in Megillas Esther. Matanas Lev Yonim, Mishloach Manos, and Kriyas HaMegillah, other things. But no new dinim deraisa are added on. The whole Torah was complete already from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But if the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to show not only a visible symbol that he gave a different ksav for the Chamisha Chamisha Torah, he gave another sefer that should be of a lasting Kedushas ksav. There should be the same level of Kedusha, the same type of Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, that it should be direct, a direct quotation, a direct Divrei Elokim Chayim, not like the other Nevi'im Ksuvim, which are an interpretation of the Mara HaNevuah which the Navi saw. That's how the Gemara understood what the Indian of Kima V'Kiblu was. It's a whole new pshat. Line by line. Yeah, line by line. Could be. Mm-hmm. It could be there's another nafkamina in the to the shadow that we raised before regarding the difference between Tainas Esther as opposed to the other Tainas, that the Eshkol points out, and we pointed out the halacha like that Tainas Esther is a Tainas Shel Simcha as opposed to the other Tainas which are a Tainas Shel Avedos. You have in the Mishnais and Yume that a katan or a ketana, a boy before bar mitzvah, a girl before bar mitzvah, a year or two or three, depending how strong the child is, before bar mitzvah, they have to fast sometimes the whole day and then sometimes part of the day. Yerushalmi says before the age of 8, you're not permitted to allow the child to fast. And even if the child wants to fast a few hours on his own, you have to tell him not to. Because the Gemara says it's a sakana. We don't observe that din because our kids are pretty healthy. They can go without eating for a whole week. They eat much more food than much healthier food that they had in times of the Gemara. But the Gemara says like that. The Yerushalmi says, if a child wants to fast before the age of 8, you have to scream at him and tell him you must eat. You have to force the kid. And then after the age of 8, the Gemara says it depends. For 1 or 2 years, you tell him to fast a few hours, and then the next year or two, before Bar Mitzvah, you tell him to fast the whole day. So the poskim say in Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah writes, this is only Yom Kippur. We have three nechayim. First thing I'm into. On Tisha B'av, and Asar B'Tevish, Shavasa B'Tamas, some Gedalia, up until Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, they don't have to fast at all. Somehow people think the last three Taneisim before they become Bar Mitzvah. It's not good. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't quote. He just says, he quotes all the Poskim, up until Bar Mitzvah, you don't fast at all. Why? How come there's only Chinuch on Yom Kippur and there's no Chinuch on Tisha B'av and Asar B'Tevish? But because Yom Kippur is a Mitzvah and Antairah, and Tisha B'av is only a Mitzvah with the Rabbanon, so why do you have Chinuch on Mitzvahs with the Rabbanon as well? Except you only have Chinuch on Mitzvahs thereas. So it would appear, they don't spell out Mefurish, but it would appear that the Pshat is the way the Shadisari writes. Shadisari writes in Turi Yev in the following Pshat. He says the Taneisim that we fast outside of Yom Kippur are Taneisim of Avelis. And the Gemara says that there's no chinuch on Avelis. Whatever reason that is, the Gemara says there's no chinuch for Avelis. Even if the child is right before Bar Mitzvah, mamish before Bar Mitzvah, and a parent dies, or another relative dies, the Gemara says there's no chinuch at all. Kriya, there is chinuch for. Let's say if a relative dies and the child is a gil lechinuch, then it has to rip regular kriya, because the Gemara says kriya lechud, v'avelis lechud. Kriya is not an aspect of Avelis, it's a different halach. The Gemara has a din. Let's say you have a child. This type of people don't know this din. Let's say you have a child who's low higi lechinuch. Let's say a little kid nebach. His father died. The kid is only 4 years old. I had a nephew. My brother-in-law died, and he left the son. It was only 4 years old. The kid didn't even understand what happened to the father died. So the Gemara has a din that people don't observe. The Gemara says you have to rip kriya on the child's bag. His mom is low higi lechinuch. So the Paskim explain that if the child is higi lechinuch, then it's a mitzvah kriya mamish. You have to rip kriya tefach. You have to rip a whole tefach and the kid has to be bamida, the regular din of chinuch and kriya. Because kriya is not an aspect of avelis. There's no chinuch and avelis, but there is chinuch and kriya. If the child is lehi gil chinuch, then the pasuk can say you rip a little bit kriya, it doesn't have to be a tefach, because it's not for chinuch and kriya. The Gemara says, v'pnei agmas nefesh, v'kara l'kota v'pnei agmas nefesh, the Gemara says on the first daf in Elam Galchen, that other people who come to visit should see what a terrible tragedy it is, that the little kid is so young and he has a torn beged. It's not for the chinuch and hay. That's mipnei avas nefesh, that other people should realize what a great sire it is. So the Poskim point out there's a difference. When you rip kriya on a cotton shehigia lechinuch, you have to rip kriya tefach, a regular din kriya, like the people who pass by mitzvah rip kriya. You have to do the mitzvah chinuch with all the prater din. When you rip kriya on a child who's low higia lechinuch, then you don't rip a tefach, just rip a little bit. But avelus, the Gemara says there's no chinuch at all. The Kaddish, the Gemara has that the Ketanim used to say Kaddish. The Ketanim used to say, if it's a Gilechinuch, he doesn't understand what he's saying, so then it's not right. But if it's a Kaddish, a Gilechinuch, the Gemara has in Brachas, the Ketanim used to say Kaddish. So the Shagasari writes in Turi Evan, he thinks this is the reason why there's no Chinuch and fasting on Shabbos of the Tammuz and some Gedalia and Tisha B'Av and the Taneisim of Avelis, because fasting on those Taneisim is an Indian of Avelis. And there's no chinuch on Avelis. So if that's the explanation, then it should follow that on Tainus Esther, because Tainus Esther is so kal, what do you mean it's so kal? It's not based on Avelis at all. It's a Tainus of Simcha. So it should have the same dinim as Yom Kippur. Because we have chinuch on Minhagim also. We have chinuch on Mitzvahs Deraisa. We have chinuch on Mitzvahs Derabbanan. We have chinuch on Minhagim as well. The Gemara says explicitly in Perek HaNezokin, the Gemara says that an apotropos who is controlling the money of the Yisayimim should take their money and spend it to buy for them a lulav, an hadassim, an esrig, whatever they need. And then the Gemara says also to buy hoshainis. The Gemara says to buy hoshainis, even though a rovis, even though clapping hoshainis is only a minig, the Gemara says it's not a real din. You see from the Gemara that this chinuch, even on you spend, the apotropos is supposed to spend their money, it's not considered wasting their money, it has to spend their money to buy them hoshainis, because there is chinuch, not in our mitzvahs derais and mitzvahs derabbanan, there's chinuch haminhagim as well. So lechor there should be chinuch on Tainus Esther as well. So it comes out a little bit paradoxical. Yeah. On Tisha B'av, there's no chinuch because that's avelus. So the Shagazari says there's no chinuch on avelus. So the kids don't have to fast on Tisha B'av and some gedalia and serve tevis up until bar mitzvah mamish. No, the Mishnah Berurah says no chinuch at all. But on Tainus Esther, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote any discussion, doesn't talk about it. So the way the Eshkol says, Tainus Esther is not a Tainus of Avelis, like it's a Tainus of Simcha, so then it should be Chinuch. That's the same as Yom Kippur. It should be Chinuch then, why not? The Gemara says that before the Balkori reads the Megillah, he says three brachos on the night of Purim. and he says the bracha al mikra megillah, then he says shasim this ma'aseh, then he says shachiyam. In the morning when he reads in the Gila as well, he says again the bracha. So the Rishonim have a shala, does he say shachiyonu again or not? He's already said shachiyonu at night. So usually you say shachiyonu when you observe a mitzvah which you haven't fulfilled for a long, long time. Like at Kiya Shofar. So at Kiya Shofar you haven't fulfilled since last Rosh Hashanah. But if you just lay in the Megillah last night, so what are you going to say Shachyanu in the morning for? So the Rambam says that you don't repeat the Shachyanu in the morning. The Rambam, the Vilna Gaon Paskens like the Rambam, Sfardim Fadim like that. The Rambam Shita says that you don't say Shachyanu in the morning. And Tosfos on Daf Dalet quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that you say Shachyanu even in the morning. What's the reason for this? So there are different reasons given by the Rishonim. So the Meiri writes on that Tosfos, why do we say Shachyanu in the morning? He says it's Shachyanu on the Yom Tov. The Shachyanu at night was a Shachyanu on reading the Megillah. But every Yom Tov you have to say Shachyanu. On Pesach Shmosu we say Shachyanu. So he says, on Yom Kippur we say Shachyanu also. You don't say Kiddush or Rabotah, but you say Shachyanu. So on Purim in the morning you say Shachyanu for the Yom Tov. And even if you have no Megillah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes. And even if you have no Megillah, and he says also, and the Meiri writes in Sugyim Bamim Adlikim, what if you have no Neiris Chanukah to lie? We should still say Shachyanu on Chanukah, on the Yom Tov itself we say Shachyanu. So on Purim morning we say Shachyanu for the Yom Tov. The question is, but you already said Shachyanu last night? So you say Shachyanu on the Yom Tov also. The same Shachyanu can't cover both the Yom Tov. Just like Sukkah. Let the Shachyanu cover the Yom Tov and the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. So that's what this Miri and a whole group of other Rishonim seem to imply. That's how Rav Soloveitchik pointed out several times. They have a strange concept of Purim. Their opinion is that Purim only begins in the morning. The night before Purim is not Purim. Unlike all other normal Jewish holidays.
Hayomim.
Yeah. Well, the Gemara learns that dinim from Hayomim. Right. Right. We'll discuss in a second. So it would appear from this Meiri that the Yom Tov Purim begins in the morning. It doesn't begin the night before. It doesn't begin the night before. So what are reading the Megillah? The second one is the Laila, even though you say it first, but it's second day. The Nitziv has a comment on that. The Gemara says, so the Nitziv claims, what does the word Lishanoso mean? Shinon means to learn something, Bechazor, to repeat it the second time and you'll understand it better. So the Nitziv writes, and I've done with the Bereish or something, he writes, really the Mitzvah Megillah is Bayom, because Bayom is Purim. The night before Purim is not really Purim. But you should read the Megillah Balayla so that when you lay it in the morning, it should be the second landing, you'll understand it better. Because the first time you lay in the Megillah, you don't really understand, you don't have all the words, unless you've been learning it a week before. But most people are fayok, they're busy in the office, whatever. Other students are busy in yeshiva learning, they have no time to read the Megillah. So when they hear the Megillah the night of Purim, then it comes the morning of Purim, they hear the Megillah the second time, the Chazorah of the Megillah, they understand it better. So really the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is only Bayom, and the Kriya Balaylo is just so that the Kriya Bayom should be the second Kriya. Every Shonim say like this, the Shulchan Aruch quotes an opinion, the Shulchan Aruch stresses, when we daven Ma'ariv on the night of Purim, we say Al HaNisim. Of course we say Al HaNisim, Bajadan. So the Meforshim explained, no, this is a Chiddush, because there was a group of Gaonim who said, you only say Al HaNisim in the morning. In the daytime, you don't say Al HaNisim at night. It's not Purim, it's the night before Purim. If you read the Megillah already and you didn't dab Ma'ariv yet, and you're going to dab Ma'ariv after the previous Megillah, look, since you read the Megillah already, then you should say Al HaNisim, because you already read about the story of the Nisim. But if you didn't read the Megillah yet, normally you dab Ma'ariv first, then you hear the Kriyas HaMegillah. So many go on and were of the opinion, you don't say Al HaNisim. It's not Purim yet. You only say Al HaNisim on Purim. A strange sheet. You have, the Gemara says, if you have the Sudas Purim, Balaylo, Lo Yotzei Yidei. So what does it mean Balaylo? So some Rishonim say that it means the night after Purim. If you have the Sudas Purim, the night after Purim, you're not Yotzei. But if you have it either the night of Purim or the day of Purim, either is good. You can have the Suda either by Yom or Balaylo. Other Rishonim say, no, Balaylo means the night of Purim, you're not Yotzei. But what it means is like this. It's not enough. Just like on Shabbos and Yom, you have to have a Suda Balaylo and a Suda by Yom. So to buy Purim, you have to have a Suda Balaylo and a Suda Bayom. You have to have two Sudas. Both should be Fleshik Sudas, Basa Bayayin, just like on a regular Shabbos Yom, a Suda Balaylo and a Suda Bayom. And the regular Rishonim deny all of this, and they say, no Suda Balaylo, nothing, no Mitzvah Balaylo. All the mitzvahs have to be bayam. Shalach manas has to be bayam. Atanas levyarim has to be bayam. And the Surah Sperm has to be bayam. And the Mikra Megillah has to be bayam. Aye, but we read the Megillah balayla. No, that's a warm-up. That's a hachana. In order that the Kriya bayam should be a chazara, l'shanoso, so we read the Megillah balayla also. So this is what the Meiri is driving at when he says that the Yom Tov HaPurim begins bayam. So the shachyana that we said balayla was only a shachyana on the Kriya HaMegillah. Then when it comes the Yom Tov Purim in the morning, you have to say shachyana on the Yom Tov. But Lamaisa, these awkward shittas, you put them all together, that seems to be the halacha. As strange as it sounds, that seems to be the halacha, because the Gemara has a din. If a person lives in Yerushalayim, which is near Hamateh Eschem, Yosef Shul Benun, so then you lay in the Megillah on Monday, on Shushan Purim. If you live in an ear that's not Mukav Chem, then you lay in the Megillah on Yud Dalet. What if you're traveling back from one to the other? So how do you determine when you're supposed to lay in the Megillah? It's a big complicated problem. So the Gemara says a psak. It's unclear what the Gemara says. The Machlek is the Chazanish and the Mishnah Berurah. What the psak? Machlek is Rashi and the Rosh, and the Machlek is Ha'acharonim, which one the Paskin like. But the Gemara makes one thing clear. One point of the Gemara is clear. It depends where you're going to be in the morning of the 14th, or one sheet is the morning of the 14th or the morning of the 15th. The Pashta says it depends on the morning of the 14th. Wherever you're going to be, the morning of the 14th, that's when the Chi of Kriyas and the Gilu is Chal. That's when Purim begins. That's when everything is nikva by where you're going to be. What's up is the morning of the 14th. The night of the 14th, the beginning of Yontif should begin. No, that is the beginning of the Yontif, the morning of the 14th. Except now there's a detail, Machlokes in the Rishonim. Let's say I'm going to be the morning of 14th, the morning of Purim, not Shushan Purim. I'm going to be in Yerushalayim on Hanetz Achamo, on Aros HaShachar of Yud Dalet. But in Yerushalayim, you don't read the Megillah on Yud Dalet, read the Megillah on Tezvah. So what good is it if I plan to be in Yerushalayim in the morning of 14, but that's not the Zman Kriyas HaMegillah? So Rashi says, it doesn't matter. The morning of the 14th is when the Chiyuv is Chal wherever you live. Whether you live in Yerushalayim or you live outside of Yerushalayim, the Chiyuv Kriyas HaMegillah is Chal on all the Jews in the world, but Chilas Hayom of Yudal in the morning. Except that if you live in the Ayoris HaMekov is Chaymo, you don't do the mitzvah, you don't fulfill the mitzvah on Yudal, you fulfill it tomorrow. And if you live in a normal city, then you fulfill the mitzvah on that day. And the Rosh disagrees with the Rashi and says, no, if you plan to be in an Ir HaMekev Eschoim on the 15th in the morning, then you mechiv to land there. If you plan to be in an Ir Prozi on the 14th in the morning, then you land and you dalit. It's a Hechitimtsi. The Rishalmi says that you have to land both, and a Hechitimtsi doesn't land at all. So let's say he plans to be the wrong day in the wrong place. Right, that's according to the Rosh. It's possible you believe to lay in the Megillah twice, Nikaradin, and it's possible you're not believe to lay in the Megillah at all if you're going to be in the wrong place. But that's only a detail, Machloek, is whether the morning of Yud Dalet is Mechayev everybody to do everything, or the morning of Yud Dalet is Mechayev those B'nei HaProzim, and the morning of Tezvav is Mechayev the B'nei HaKforim, Mechayev the B'nei HaKrachim. But everybody agrees that it's the morning. The morning. Why not the night before, like every normal yom? The answer is no. Allah says it's a strange concept that Purim begins in the morning, and the night before Purim is Erev Purim. It's not really Leil Purim.
That's
Yom Tov Purim. And the Takanas Chachamim was to lay in the Megillah the night before Purim. It's not Purim. To lay in the Megillah the night before Purim. In order that l'shanosa bayom, so that the Kriya bayom. Right. Okay. Maybe they hold that there's no shachyana for a yom tov derabbanan. They could disagree with the whole Meiri. Meiri says he says shachyana not only on a yom tov deraisa, he says shachyana on Chanukah Purim as well. So that's a shaila. It could be the other Rishonim disagree. You only say shachyana when you have a yom tov deraisa. I'll just close with one short comment on the kriya. In the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, the Chumash writes, "Ve'elah begodim." These are the following big dekuna that you should make for Aaron of Onof. So list off all of the begodim except for the tzitz. Then the tzitz is mentioned later. Ve'elah begodim shetas lechoshem yevon mil aksonis tajvus nishnefes v'yavn. Everything but the tzitz. So the Ibn Ezra points it out, and Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Balaturim and other Rishonim pointed out, why is the tzitz omitted? They said the tzitz wasn't really a beggar. The tzitz was a tachshit. Actually, it's not the same thing as a baby. So it's just a comment in Parshonis HaMikra why the Chumash doesn't mention tzitz. So It's interesting. Some Achronim think that this is Nagel Ladina. There is a din that when a Kohen does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he has to be wearing the proper big dikuna. There is a din if he's missing the Godim, or if he's mute Begodim, if he has extra Begodim, the Avodah will be psul. So what happens, let's say, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he doesn't wear Shmoina Begodim. Normally, all you learn, the Kohen Gadol wears 8 Begodim. On Yom Kippur, he only wears Dalit Begodim, and the Tzitz is not one of them. So the Chorif, the Kohen Gadol should wear the Tzitz on Yom Kippur, the whole Avodah will be possible. Because it's miyuta begodim, he has an extra begad. So the Gemara wouldn't appear to say that. The Gemara says the Kohen Gadol, we don't allow him to wear the tzitz on Yom Kippur because in kategon as a saneger, that gold is reminiscent of the egel azov, and a whole story. What does this gold got to do with that gold? So the Gemara says, but lefnai v'lefnir v'machmir, if it's the same min, even though it's not the same original gold, if it belongs to the same category. What does the Gemara beat around the bush? Ain't Kategan as a Senek. It's all the Gemara's organ. It's Miyut of Godim. It's possible. So some Achronim say that it wouldn't be Miyut of Godim. That the Gemara seems as Vachim to say, if let's say the Kohen has a bandage on in between his skin and the big Likuna, that's no good because of Chatzitz. It's a different psul. You're not allowed to have Chatzitz between the big Likuna and the body of the Kohen. If he has a bandage not in between the skin and the big Likuna, then it's not a problem of chatzitz, then it's a shayla of miyut to begodim. So the Gemara seems to say it has to have a shame beged, and it has to bandage if it's big enough. If it's gimel it's boys, 3 inches by 3 inches, then it's called a beged, and then it's called miyut to begodim. What if it be a bandage the way we wear? We don't wear band-aids, the bandages that are 3 by 3 at sports. So then it'll only be no good if the bandage is in between the big dekuna and the body, it's a good chatzitz. But if it's shaloi kineged abgadim, then it wouldn't be miyut abgadim, because it's not a beged. So some achronim say, who are the nami that sits? It sits is bichlal not a beged. The pasuk says, veil abgadim shotasim. And the tzitz is not mentioned. The tzitz is a tachshid. So if the Kohen Gadol will wear the tzitz in the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur, the avodah will not be psula. It's not a miyut abgadim. Right. But since he wears it over here, so it's not a miyut abgadim. The only problem will be, in kategan, as a senegah. That's why the Gemara harps so much on that theme. Because the tzitz is not a beged.